Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Back once again for the Renegade Master, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Those young boys beat Manchester United and Bayern Gub Barca again. It's Wednesday, 15th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
D4 damage, your power to the people. Andy Brassel sitting there with your ill behaviour.
It's the first time I've heard that outside a foam party, I think.
Foam or phone?
Foam.
When did you go to a foam party?
What are these phone parties that you're getting involved in?
I just thought it was like some crappy modern party.
Do you want to
party.
Come over for a drink? Yeah, I'm on the other side of the dance floor.
Yeah. Ian Botham likes a phone party.
Don't know what that refers to, but I assume it's horrendous, so let's move on.
His nickname's Beefy. Andy, talk to me about your foam party. If you can.
I'll do my best.
Come on.
Yeah.
When was this?
It was a big thing in the first year at university.
Oh, you're going back then. Yeah. I went to a really crappy foam party once.
So you do know what they are? You've been to one?
No, I wanted to hear what Andy's was about. Because it sounded like he went to one recently, which I was quite intrigued with.
Was Renegade Master recent?
Fair play. Yeah.
This is on you.
It sounds like the first time every time you listen to it, to be fair.
That is true.
I went to a phone party once. It was just like up to your ankles. Just like,
it's not ideal.
You're just slipping around.
Yeah.
Great for a moonwalk, but nobody could see it because your feet were covered.
Well,
but
then you don't have to do it properly. So,
true enough. Everyone's won there, Jim. Indeed. Of course, talking of winners, we've got to go straight to young boys.
Mm.
We go to the Wankdorf Stadium. And the big takeaway from the game, that it was Cristiano Ronaldo's 177th Champions League appearance. He's equaled the record held by Real Madrid legend Casillas. Remember him? Remember old Iker?
Yes, very well.
Yeah. So he'll be delighted with his night's work. Scored, of course.
Again, through the keeper's legs, just to...
Sort of.
I think goalkeepers are still scared of the idea of Ronaldo, aren't they? And it seems to be giving him that little bit of an edge.
Indeed. But of course, I jest, ladies and gentlemen, of course, those young boys beat Manchester United 2-1. But you're right about Cristiano Ronaldo. I mean, was it René Meulensteen said when he was at the club, he was teaching Ronaldo to score any type of goal. Because he said, the trouble with you, mate, you're trying to hit the top corner all the time. You're trying to, you know, in off the post kind of thing. You just need to get the ball in the back of the net.
I hope you phrased it like that. Trouble with you, mate.
Also, it's quite incredible, isn't it, when a very, very highly rated coach is saying, don't aim for the corners.
Yeah. Your goals are too good.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that's almost like one down from I taught Cristiano Ronaldo how to score goals.
It is, yeah. Andy, it is. But I mean, Jim, what a win for young boys.
Yeah, and the atmosphere was fantastic, wasn't it? So it was very much just one of those really, really enjoyable nights for the neutral. Can't say I saw it coming. I thought the Ollie train was you know, had left the station. Were you calling, firmly back there?
You're calling yourself a neutral. Surely you wanted the boys from Burn to win that.
I guess I did. Actually, yeah.
All right, you little liar.
Yeah. Well, I try not to think about the Champions League.
Oh, those years ago. Yeah.
It's like thinking about a beautiful house you once lived in that you burned down by accident. Through your own repeated incompetence.
Yeah, but if you look out your top floor little flat, you know, somewhere, you can just crane your neck.
See the embers.
Yeah, and you think, let's just...
I'm going to go back to bed.
So did you like drift off and thought that could have been Granit Xhaka passing that straight to Jordan Sebastian?
No, that could have been Granit Xhaka getting sent off in the 28th minute or whatever it was.
Yeah, well, that was, I mean, the obvious turning point of the match, Andy, was Aaron Wan-Bissaka being sent off after a ropey first touch. And of course, he then piled in for the second one. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said, I can understand why he gives it.
Yeah.
Because Aaron takes a touch that goes too far. However, it's never a dangerous tackle because it hits him on the front of his foot.
That is a quite ludicrous analysis of the situation.
Because they can break, can't they, in the front of your feet?
Yeah.
Particularly as he's not saying that on Twitter.
Yeah. Was it worse than the... I forget who it was on. Was it on Fernandes or something in the Southampton game? Remember, much has been made about that tackle in the build-up to Southampton's equaliser when it was kind of like, well, that's always going to be a foul. That's always, whereas this one's apparently not a dangerous one.
That's extraordinary. Yeah. I think as well, you can see...
It's a red card all day long.
Yeah. Absolutely. You can actually see Martins Pereira, who fortunately wasn't seriously hurt, walking it off for the next couple of minutes, can't you?
Very uncomfortable. Unless I'm mistaken here, Jim, Wan-Bissaka didn't sort of protest that much.
No, he didn't. No. He didn't. I thought that was great, actually. He went over and checked if he was all right. He knew it was a bad one. Yeah. He knew it was a red card.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I mean, it's a funny one with Solskjaer there, isn't it? Like, because obviously, you know, there's a point where a manager needs to protect his players and stuff, but he's got a sort of habit of this, and of saying things that are a little bit mad, and we'll come on to another one of them in a little while, where it's just like, you just... What's the point here? Like, what you're protecting your team by making yourself look a bit silly?
But much is made of him being Manchester United through and through. So that, do you think that goes for everything with the PR machine and the whole lot?
He's like a fan on Twitter, like you say, it's really blinkered. Maybe you want that in some ways.
Yeah, quite possibly.
He missed out the line about the orange card, but apart from that,
Was it an orange card? Yeah, and if only there was an orange card in football, it would be a relevant statement. But Andy, despite all this stuff we're talking about, we can sometimes forget that Young Boys put in a hell of a performance. And of course, Manchester United are the better side here, which makes the Young Boys' victory even more impressive. But sometimes in a game of football, there is a red card. There is something that happens and an opportunity appears. You've got to take that opportunity.
Yeah, and you would say that with the comparative resources, Manchester United should be winning that game all day long from 1-0 up, even with 10 men. Mm. But there was
close to getting a point, to be fair.
That's true.
They didn't, Jim. You're absolutely
right. There wasn't a plan.
The voice of the neutral there.
Afterwards. And we'll come to the Manchester United bit of it in a minute. But I thought what was notable, and we've got to give David Wagner a bit of credit here, actually.
Oh, the Vag.
Because when Martins Pereira is getting treated for that foul by Wan-Bissaka, he gets the team around. Mm. And he talks them through what they need to do next.
Is that allowed?
And it is if the referee isn't looking.
get a VAR review. Whatever you've just said to those players, you've got to tell them something.
You've got to forget that. Yeah. Yeah. Stricken and from the record.
Yeah.
You look at the way they just went for it. Mm. And they'd gone into the game. They'd normally play with two up. They'd taken a striker out to put an extra man in midfield because Sebastian would normally start but didn't. And they just switched it up and went for it. You know, they are a team that is used to winning. You know, they've won the Swiss League for the last 4 years in a row, playing mainly very, very attacking football.
And people forget
now, people who see David Wagner will say, well, you know, Huddersfield, Schalke. Mm. But it's funny. It seems like he's been carried along by them. Yep. He's been forced to change by them and the culture of the club. And they went for it. And that's not easy to do, I don't think.
No, you're right. And that's interesting to say that because people forget, if you get into the Champions League, Jim, it's because you're a good team. You've won your domestic league. And I often make the point about teams going up from the Championship to the Premier League where, you know, you have a great time in the Championship. because, you know, you've won the league or you finished second or whatever, so you've won a lot of games, you're used to playing on the front foot, then you have to inevitably, unless you're Bielsa's Leeds, play a little bit on the back foot at least. One can be concerned for, say, Norwich. You know,
are simply they just not have the ball as much.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff. And in the Champions League with the smaller sides, that can be the case. And of course, you know, going 1-0 down, it was. But what Wout Wagner's done there is, you know, you've got a passionate home support. The opportunity presents itself, and he goes, right, now listen here, lads. We bloody win here every week. They are Manchester United. Yeah, let's forget about the badge on their kits. Let's get it going. Let's do what we normally do and let's have it. And actually, so for them to kind of shift onto the front foot and take it is not that surprising if you think about it.
No, absolutely not. And I guess the sort of greatest compliment that can be paid to Wagner because of how effective that was, whatever those magic words that he uttered to his players like in the secret sneaky break, were that Solskjaer kept changing his system to try and accommodate it, which does make you think, does he have a plan when they go down to 10 men? Mm. I mean, it doesn't happen that often, but you feel like in a game of this magnitude, especially when he was talking beforehand about how we don't want a repeat of the Behechtsheer game. You think, are you just saying that then? Have you not thought through these various eventualities?
It does appear that, and it appears that, because with Solskjaer, when he played under Ferguson, apparently he did that, Andy, at Manchester United, I don't know if you're aware. Ferguson, you know, wanted his players to take responsibility on the pitch. Ferguson was a great delegator, of course, and that's what he would want. Now, one can be forgiven for thinking that maybe Solskjaer wants that from his players. And if you look at some of the players they've got on the pitch, there are some big players there. But do you perhaps think that that's what he's expecting from his players? But yet, actually, they're looking around and thinking, well, maybe there isn't too much joined up thinking here.
Yeah, and it didn't feel like they were empowered with the knowledge to change things, really. And I think that's huge. I think it was our old pal Sam Tye on Twitter that said it was interesting that really United's three biggest weaknesses were exposed at the same time, right back, central midfield, and let's be honest, the coach. Mm. Because I felt with Paul Pogba, actually, and I know Pogba will probably get a bit of criticism from from the way he played. He wasn't great in the second half, especially when they're under the pump. Mm-hmm. He gave the ball away in a few bad areas a couple of times.
And the one thing you don't want to get the ball out is give the ball away because he's got such a great range of passing.
You're right, but I think if you go back to when it was 11-a-side, young boys have a plan to just press him every time he gets the ball. Yeah. And he's got no protection from that. Yeah, and it reminded me a little bit of where Pogba was with France in the summer. In that when he's got the ball in the opposition half, he looks like a prince. When he's got the ball in his own half, he looks like a potential liability.
Yeah.
And that's not completely his fault. Now, he could have used the ball a bit better on some occasions. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, you know, there weren't a lot of United players who shone on the night. Maybe Fred being an exception. But the team is really lacking someone to make it all tick in midfield and give Pogba that little bit of freedom. And that's something that's been overlooked for a while. And it kind of came home to roost in this.
Yeah, I mean, it must be quite comforting, Jim, as a neutral and Arsenal fan, for everybody saying, yeah, you can put all these fancy players around and so on, but you really need somebody who's going to command the centre of the pitch, especially in a sort of defensive way as well. Does that ring a bell to you?
Yeah, it does. That's been the story of last decade at least, isn't it? But yeah, no, it's true though, isn't it? And you wonder, like,
do you have any words of comfort for those Manchester United fans?
You might scrape a cup here and there. No, they'll be fine. They'll be absolutely fine, won't they? In comparison. But yeah, I mean, we have been talking about this exact deficiency for a long time. And it's interesting that it's come up this early. Although I suppose, you know, going down to 10 men away in Europe, even if it is against young boys, is perhaps maybe a tad, it's a bit perhaps over the top, like pushing any sort of panic button straight away. But I think part of the issue as well is obviously Ronaldo from the second half, he was taken off and he didn't look as effective, did he? And he still feels a bit like a guest star, doesn't he? And I think the team are going to have to gel.
Very early days.
Exactly. Yeah, that's not a criticism of him or them, but they're going to have to they're going to have to gel those new players in. And I think because the results have been pretty good, we've not. And it's the same with Chelsea, actually. Chelsea aren't playing spectacularly well, and again, we'll come on to them. But they're still getting those results.
Very different beast, though, at the moment.
Yeah, but we still are yet to see these teams in full flight. And I think this is just an example of that. But Solskjaer's got these performances in him, though, hasn't he? And yeah. that's the worry.
But that lack of a dad midfielder,
yes,
it affects every part of the
yeah.
team.
Yeah.
Because everyone's got to muck in a little bit more. The players who you want winning you the game have to muck in a bit more at mm-hmm. the other end of the field.
Yeah.
So, Bruno Fernandes, for example, who that assist for the Ronaldo goal.
Beauty.
It's incredible.
Absolute
it's
beauty.
Incredible. And as the game goes on, he's further and further away from Ronaldo. Mm. And Ronaldo, always the problem with him, going back like a decade, when he gets isolated at the top end of the pitch. Mm. And that's exactly what happened. Mm. And when they take him off, it's just because he's become completely ineffective, pretty much no fault of his own, mm. really. And, there's got to be a plan to deal with that. Because you look at all the players United have, if they defend well enough, they should be able to pick off young boys on the break.
Yeah. Well, they should.
And they never threaten to do that.
No, they're well versed in that style as well. That's what's so odd about it.
Exactly. Not just in Solskjaer times, but going back and back and back in all their great incarnations and iterations in the Premier League period. But it's funny, isn't it? Because if you look at that, the last shot they have on target is that Cristiano Ronaldo one in the first half where it stings Von Bommel's hands. That's it.
There's a phenomenal... Two shots, which is the fewest of any of their 138 Champions League games since 2003-2004. So it shows you their lack of attacking intent. Because people could spin this the other way and say, well, hang on a minute, they've gone down to 10 men early on, in Partizan crowd who are up for it, blah, blah, blah. You're still in the Champions League. They're against good teams. They concede an equaliser, and it's only an absolutely horrendous error from Jesse Lingard that in the last seconds that leads them losing the game. Yeah. If they get a point there, again, on paper, that's not terrible, but that is not the story. That would paper over a lot of the cracks, because that stat about the shots on target and the manner of the performance, I think, is more telling. But I would like to say this, ladies and gentlemen, Lingard wouldn't have done that when he was playing for West Ham. AKA's natural habitat.
Yeah.
His new natural habitat.
You do worry for him, doesn't he? He scored such a good goal at the weekend. Mm. And the look on his face when he scored at Old Trafford, the relief pouring off him was a great thing to see. Yeah.
Wonderful
goal
as well.
You worry that this cancels that out and he'll be on the bench for 2 months.
Indeed. Better news for Manchester United, though, I should say, worried about the current side, some people are. Looking ahead to the future, Cristiano Ronaldo Jr. is at the Manchester United Academy. And maybe that was a part of the deal, Ronaldo. But listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. He was at Juventus' academy too. And when he just turned 9, he played for, I assume, their under 9, something like that. Scored 4 goals on his debut. He apparently scored 7 goals in 45 minutes against Maritimo.
I'd fancy my chances of scoring a couple against Maritimo.
True enough. But Andy, this is happening. And Ronaldo said, my son thinks he's going to be better than me, but I think it's difficult. I mean, it is difficult.
There's the carrot.
This would be ideal for Cristiano Ronaldo. His son becomes a brilliant, brilliant professional footballer, scores more than Messi, but not as much as him. That's exactly what that man is hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary, isn't it? Because you think, oh, Ronaldo might go on forever. I mean, his son looks a lot like him. It might be essentially
Cristiano Ronaldo Jr.
I always...
Have a Neymar Jr. Is this how these guys are going to start competing?
It could be.
Neymar, like the worst dads you can imagine.
A Neymarinho Jr.?
It could be.
Nice.
I think I always go back to the 2017 Champions League final.
I know.
Where all the Real Madrid kids, all the Real Madrid players' kids come out onto the pitch and have a kickabout. And they're all just having a lovely little, air shot at the goal from 1 yard out, apart from Cristiano Ronaldo Jr., who looks better than half the Juventus team.
Starts tearing out,
or Real Madrid team.
It's ridiculous. Gentlemen, Chelsea beat Zenit 1-0 last night. Not the most entertaining game for neutrals like Jim. But Chelsea, they did win it 1-0. And Romelu Lukaku broke through that stubborn resistance. And I thought to myself, when he just sort of nodded that one in, I was like, that's why you pay the big dollary dues for a man like him, because they didn't really have much, did they, Chelsea? And Zenit did a pretty good job in stifling, a decent Chelsea side. He just gets that sniff and heads it into the back of the net, Jim.
Yeah, he's just such a fantastic player. We saw it at the weekend as well. Like, he scored 2 goals against Villa. Wasn't actually that heavily involved that much elsewhere.
Yeah.
But again, I think this is because Chelsea are taking a little bit of time, as everyone is, to click and find their kind of free-flowing best. And I'm sure we're going to see them tear teams to shreds probably sooner rather than later. This is another example, though, of that absolute top tier quality where you only need, you'd call that maybe like a three quarter chance, would you?
From, I know what you Lukaku? Mean. Yeah, if, like, if he heads that down and the keeper pushes it.
He's got men on him though, so it's not simple, but
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's why you pay the top money for these sort of strikers. Like, that's a game last season they'd have probably drawn 0-0.
Yeah. Well, yeah, possibly. Maybe under Lampard rather than Tuchel. Well, but yeah, I know what you mean. But I think with Chelsea, with Lukaku in particular, what I just find so impressive about him is he is a striker who likes to be involved in the play because he's not just a poacher, as we know. In fact, he often plays with his back to goal.
Oh, man. And he's phenomenal the way he does that, though, because he will really pick a defender and back into that defender all
totally.
Game.
Totally. And you can see, especially with, say, the way Martinez has used him for Belgium, you know, how he brings in a lot of his teammates and so on. He's so good at that.
He's super intelligent.
Yes. And but you know, in a game like this where he's not getting much, it's kind of like, right, actually, they need a goal, a sort of a, not a poacher, but you need someone who is going to, you know, gobble up that one chance.
Yeah.
And so on.
Yeah, and Jim's right. He's at the level now. Let's, just for clarity, not confuse him with the previous incarnation of Lukaku, who was in the Premier League, who was a very, very good striker.
Yep.
This guy right now is, as Jim says, on a totally different level.
He's imperious.
And when you have someone who's that good, it circumvents the need to play well, really, doesn't he? Like you were saying with the Villa game at the weekend.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you know, tearing about all game, trying to get involved just for the sake of people seeing that you're running isn't always the most efficient use of your energy. Thierry Henry was brilliant at just like strolling about until it was important, and then he'd just turn the jets on and score a goal. And we're seeing that from Lukaku now, like conserving your energy for the key moments, of which there are never that many in a game in that position, really. It is just smart play.
Well, I mean, Zenit did miss a glorious chance, though, in the game. We sort of can't forget. But yeah, but Chelsea, I think, you know, 1-0 was probably a fair reflection.
You referring to the Juba chance?
Yeah.
I mean, because he was like a creaking, aging warhorse in 2018, wasn't it? Like, I mean, it was essentially more of a belly flop than sort of attempt at goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, and look, I'm always up for that. To sort of see that. But Chelsea sort of got away with one there, but I think they were good value for the win. Joe Cole and Rio Ferdinand, I mean, they were just waxing lyrical about this Chelsea side. And, you know, obviously they are the European champions. They know what they are, Jim, those Chelsea fans, certainly. Rio said, it's amazing to see the transformation in the Chelsea team. It's been phenom. I always appreciate the chopping up of words.
Yeah. Well, they'd probably have to get to an ad break. Yeah. They? So time.
That's if you've been drilled at BT Sport, presumably, to do that, which is why it's not British Telecom Sport, of course. But I mean, it's funny, you know, we talk about this transformation with the Chelsea team. We are still harking back to the time before Tuchel took over. And Tuchel himself was very gracious about taking over from Frank Lampard. He said, I think it was a couple of weeks ago now, I actually said to the board in the first phone call, are you sure of doing this with regards to sacking Frank Lampard? Maybe he deserves more time. He embodied everything Chelsea works for.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did he want the job?
Yeah, I quite remarkable. Did he want expectations even lower? Give him more time?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting quote. Andy, what do you think Tuchel's doing there? Is that an honest quote from him, or is he...
He's up to something.
Yes, he's up to something.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. But it is an interesting point, because when we talk about Chelsea shaping up as potential Champions League winners in the group stage last year, and they were really impressive in the group stage under Lampard last year.
Yeah, we can be a bit harsh to Lampard. Sorry about
that. But remember, you know, they won 4-0 at Krasnodar, they won 4-0 at Sevilla when Olivier Giroud went nuts.
Yep.
And it's funny because the last couple of games, as Jim was saying, looked like not great Chelsea, but their individual quality winning them the games. And that's where they were at various stages of group stage in the Champions League last season. That was the point where you look at this and you think, before even the arrival of Lukaku, and you think, shit, this squad is deep.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the best squads in Europe. Absolutely. And you really saw that in a Champions League context, if not particularly in a Premier League context at the
Andy,
time.
A little word on Antonio Rudiger, who was decent again last night. In fact, he got the sort of led the charge at one point when he flashed a shot wide.
Remind me of when Big Sol Campbell used to surge forward.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking.
Yeah, I know what I've done there, Mark.
But you've tickled my fancy. But he's, because at one point looked like he was going to leave the club. Yeah. Or certainly people were saying, is he good enough now? He's looking imperious, to use that word again.
He is, and it's Tuchel's biggest victory, I think, getting...
Not the Champions League final last year?
Well, you've got to produce the little victories to get to the big victory.
Oh, I see.
And I think if you look at him, you look at Christensen, who's going to sign a new contract, players who could be good players, but never felt like they were really going to be what Chelsea needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want out of a coach, really. To get the very best out of the existing players. And that's exactly what Tuchel's done. And they're two very good examples of that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody, let's go for a quick break and then we'll talk a little bit more Champions League football.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Get in somebody's face. Smash somebody.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, it's Wednesday. It's time for more Agony Aunt emails in a section we're calling Pep Talks, obviously.
We are so, so happy. We're so happy.
We are so happy. Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for that.
We are so happy. I'm so happy, believe me. I'm so happy.
Sit down! Nobody jump! Sit down! Wait! Wait, why?
Yes, it's time for Pep Talks. Do send your emails to show@footballramble.com or tweet us at Football Ramble. A lot of you have been getting in touch. Thank you very much. Andy, I believe you got the first one.
Yes, we've got one from Alvin Ong on Twitter. He says, having turned 30 on Tuesday, oh, those were the days, I'm now plotting my midlife crisis roadmap. Which life decisions in your 30s would you encourage me to follow? When we've got a tweet here about a midlife crisis roadmap, why am I reading this out? This doesn't seem very appropriate.
No, exactly, Andy. What footwear are you wearing today?
Crocs again.
Crocs. I think...
Jim, some jokes are too far.
Alvin. I'm going to call you Alv. Alvino. Get yourself a new set of wheels, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what he should do? Oh, no. Yeah. Because obviously a lot of people have those electric scooters. You see them in London. You see them in other parts of the country. They are still illegal, I believe.
Are they?
I think so. You can hire them.
Oh, wow. That's proper like midlife crisis stuff then, isn't it? You're a bad boy on the road on the pavement.
Yeah. So don't break a law. So don't get one of them. Maybe hire one. But get an actual scooter like Pete Donaldson if you haven't already got one. Because I think that's a nice... You'll have a lovely time.
Yeah, I think based on the people we know who are having midlife crises, that's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, if you live in Naples, Alvin, presumably you've already got one.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you need to start with the basics.
Yeah.
I reckon probably do some weights in your garage.
Oh, absolutely.
Something like
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yeah.
You want an instant hit, Andy. That's going to take a while. You need a bike.
Yeah, but he's only 30.
Yeah, see, this is the thing. Because of the way that we live in a sort of infantilized culture, don't we? 30 has essentially never been younger. So I think you've probably got at least 5 years before you even start to need to start thinking about this stuff, Alvin. Essentially, it's your 20s, but you've got more autonomy and money now. So just, this is it. I'm describing a midlife crisis, aren't I? I'm saying I'll keep living like you do now. Yeah, just start living like a teenager.
Well, so when you say in 5 years' time, you kind of, when he's mid-30s, might have an eye on it. What do you, have you got your eye on a midlife crisis, Jim?
Well, I think I'm too close to it. I think I'm probably living one.
But what would you fancy? What would you, anything that leaps to my hand?
Trampoline?
Trampoline. What, just owning one or just going?
Probably owning one.
Yeah.
Drunken trampoline. Right. Get one of those things around the side so you can't fall out of it. Mm-hmm. Trampoline on a trampoline. I don't know.
You've managed to find your way over the top of that.
Exactly, yeah.
You'll fall over it onto
that's
the floor.
That's a challenge to me.
And you'll just be lying there next to Kevin Keegan on the floor. Andy, anything that leaps to mind midlife crisis? Do you own a guitar? Have you learnt guitar?
No, I haven't.
That would be good for you, I think.
I think this might be one to throw out to the listeners.
Yeah.
If you can help Alvin with his midlife crisis.
If you can help me with my midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah, kickstart Andy's living midlife crisis.
Why should Alvin get all the tips?
Yeah, this is true.
That is very, very true.
Yeah. About a penny farthing.
That's a hell of a challenge, that.
It would exactly, right?
Yeah, very true.
Build it yourself.
Yeah.
Do a wheelie with it. There you go.
There we are. Jobs are good.
So, yeah, we got another email from Tom. Tom says, my reason for writing to you today is that I desperately need some guidance with my upcoming wedding speech. To paint a picture for you, after introducing my fiancée to fantasy football during the 18-19 season, that's 18/19 season, these people are not that old. She has gone on to hammer me comfortably in every season since and continues to make sure I don't forget it either. For every Aguero goal I had, she had multiple KDB assists. For every Robertson clean sheet I had, she had Diaz and Trent. It's safe to say at this point, more than pride is at stake, and as we start a new chapter of our lives together, my question is this: do I take the higher ground and acknowledge her performance in my wedding day speech, adding how thankful I am that she selflessly immersed herself into football for me when we first started dating so that we could talk about it and watch games together, or do I brush it under the carpet, meaning my friends and family would be none the wiser? If you could provide me with some guidance in this situation, that would be greatly appreciated. Now, Tom, firstly, I would say a woman being good at fantasy football, as we've seen in our house here, is not that uncommon or anything to be ashamed of if you when you're losing. So I think mention it, you know. It's clearly something she's good at and it's pretty funny. So
yeah. No,
I think own it.
I think he should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah.
No, I jest, of course. I think you've got to say
it. You were just saying that we don't have enough strong men in society earlier, weren't you?
Yes, indeed.
from that blog that you like.
And I really fancy myself as one, Jim. But I think absolutely mention it, because it's something you bonded over,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing. I think that's absolutely wonderful. But Tom, maybe frame it like this. You were the one that unlocked her potential. You were the one that guided her to fantasy football. So therefore, she's your sort of protege.
Yeah.
And I would perhaps frame it like that.
I think...
You're Rene Meulensteen in this situation.
Exactly, yeah.
I think, Tom, show the respect of the great opponent that she is and come out there with a Rafa Benitez style list of facts in your wedding speech. I would suggest that is the way to go.
Yeah, true. But remember, Tom, don't keep it too long with regards to this section, because you could isolate parts of the room who don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Are you saying you should just keep it short, snappy, like 3 hours Bielsa PowerPoint business?
I think so.
Yes.
Do you know what? I'd even knock it down to 2 hours, Andy.
And if you could do it between the starter and the main in the dinner, people will love that. People always love that.
Stagger the speeches.
Yeah.
One after the starter, one after the main, and then best man after the dessert or sort of during the dessert. I think that's pretty good. But then do what you want, Tom. It's your bloody wedding. So there we are. I think we've answered that. So excellent stuff. Yes, of course, if you've got any more questions for us, however bizarre, send them in. We'll get them done every Wednesday in this agony aunt sort of thing that has sort of happened to us, which we're now calling Pep Talks. Go on, the jingle, just one more time.
We are so, so happy.
We're so happy.
We are so happy.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for that.
We are so happy.
I'm so happy, believe me.
We are so happy.
Sit down! Relax.
Lovely old job. Right then, let's go to Pep's former clubs, Barcelona and Bayern. Bayern gubbed them again.
Yeah.
3-0, of course, at the new camp. And Ronald Koeman said ahead of the match, this will be an interesting game to draw conclusions about where we are. Words he may well come to regret. He did bemoan their current situation because they've got a number of injuries and so on and so forth. There was a Koeman out banner scene at the new camp, but club employees got rid of it.
I love the idea that people think that's the problem at Barcelona.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes, I think it's harsh to blame Koeman. I mean, he's delivered them a Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
He's got them in the Champions League,
yes.
Which I think a couple of months into last season, even with Messi, a lot of Barcelona fans were thinking was off the table.
Mm.
I mean, unfortunately...
People forget how competitive La Liga was last year.
Yeah, exactly.
The Sevilla fans think, among us, Andy, will know that.
They will. I think as well, you have to say that the chronology of this is really unfortunate. Like, playing Bayern...
Yeah.
And it's hard to believe it's only 13 months since the 8-2. Mm. I mean, so much has changed since then. But, you know, it's
not
always...
Not in terms of results between the two clubs.
Yeah. Well, it's
that
always,
tradition has continued.
It's always going to look incredibly unflattering playing them in the first game there. And it was a little bit like if you go back to, again, when Messi was there, in the 2012-2013 Champions League semi, and they lost the away leg 4-0, which is the one that everyone remembers. But they got trashed 3-0 at home.
Mm.
In the return, PK scored an own goal. It was a mess.
Yep.
And people thought it was the end of Barcelona as a power then.
That was when PK was offering to like leave, wasn't it?
No, this was before that. But it's amazing to me. Someone told me last night that the last time Barcelona lost the opening night of a Champions League, Asprilla hat-trick at St. James's Park.
Away the lads.
It's nice to think about that, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Obviously not if you're a Barcelona fan, but globally it's nice to think about
Newcastle
that.
Fans will definitely appreciate you reminding them of those days.
Yeah.
Or will they, maybe? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's a great memory.
It puts the current plight into stark focus, doesn't it? But
which club are we talking about here?
Both of them. Barcelona didn't have a single shot on target, which is the first time in their Champions League history, which was, I mean, incredible. I mean, maybe Dayot and Pamecano had a fair bit to say about that, as he was excellent for Bayern as well. But Bayern, I mean, they looked like they were playing a side who are new to the Champions League, who are a bit starry-eyed with one of the big boys turning up. And the manner of the Bayern goals was telling as well, Jim.
But again, it's Bayern have that fear factor, don't they? And most teams crumble in the face of it. Barcelona... Certainly, you'd put them in the tier of teams that don't because they back themselves. But you can see the decline in every aspect of Barcelona. Mm. They approached that game almost knowing they were going to lose.
Yes,
you could really see it. And obviously,
puts Koeman's comments into quite
absolutely, because he needs to know what their level is, doesn't he? Because this is an unprecedented situation at Barcelona.
But do you not think though, Barcelona, if they know they're going to lose, which obviously I know you're exaggerating a little bit there, but I take the point. But then approach the game in a sort of a different way and trying to restrict them sort of to play. I mean, I suppose you could argue they did that, but I just again the manner of Barcelona's performance was piss poor.
Yeah, but again, I think you have to think about how good Bayern are in that. If they want to strangle the game, they can and they will and they do. And it took them a while to get 3-0, didn't it? But it felt like they actually weirdly could have had a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Like this could have been... It's not going to be another 8-2, obviously, but it could have been a lot more humbling. I think as well, with Upamecano and obviously Sabitzer in there as well, I think there is an argument that Bayern should have to change their name to the best of the Bundesliga. It's just ridiculous the way they do that.
True.
Year.
I mean, also, I did appreciate Koeman bringing on Felipe Coutinho.
Yes.
Because after his recent history of like the first time at Barcelona, then the loan to Bayern and scoring against them in the Champions League and winning the Champions League in the year that he was away and then coming back and not being able to get in the team because he was kind of eating up Messi's space. And what do they do with him now because no one wants to buy him? And then Koeman just throws him on and you're like, hang on, who does he play for? And he's standing there going, hang on, who do I play for? And what's happening?
Yeah, well, he's thinking, we need a shot. Who can guarantee us a shot?
Yeah.
Go on, Phil. On you go. 50 yards if you have to.
Apparently he did take a shot which was blocked and it drew applause from the crowd. They were like, well, at least somebody tried. It didn't, doesn't alter the stats, of course. Gerard Piqué's comments afterwards were revealing. He said, "We competed in the first half. Bayern took the lead with a deflected goal. In the end, I don't know how many kids we had on. It is what it is. We are what we are."
See, again, that's realism that I think is going to help Barcelona through. They need to create a sort of siege mentality and accept this is a rebuild. Yes. And like, Koeman out banners are absurd. Yeah. I think, you know, it's hard to get a fan base of any team completely united. But yes, everyone at the club does seem to be facing up to the situation that they're in and the reality of that. So actually, I think this sort of talk, though it sounds a bit depressing, will probably stand them in quite good stead.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And at some point, you know, maybe you do have to hit rock bottom. But the fact is, they've mismanaged that club so badly. And actually, the only time they've stepped up and gone, oh, maybe we've got a problem here, was because they lost Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Because of what a shower of shite it's become there, which is a great shame. But you think about Messi and you think, well, he wanted to win the Champions League again, of course. He wanted to. Maybe actually for him, in hindsight, he probably thinks just as well he moved to PSG because he's probably dodged a bullet.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, it was only circling a drain, wasn't it? I will say, I think Piqué will be absolutely key in that dressing room and around the club, and as a spokesman, really, for the club in this time, because
he speaks like a president already.
Well, because there's talk that he may become president.
He will. I mean, he definitely will.
He brokered the shirt deal with Rakuten. I mean, that is how effective and Barcelona through and through Piqué is.
He's so omnipotent that when Messi went to Paris Saint-Germain, it was his TV company that took on the rights to Ligue 1.
Yeah, well,
like he really is in control of it all.
Yeah, well, it's not Ronald Koeman, is it? Because he's having a bit of war of words with Joan Laporta recently. He said, "My relationship with Laporta has improved, but last week something happened that I don't think is right. He was suggesting that the coach doesn't have all the power. He spoke too much. Thanks to me, this club has a future." Now, we expect that kind of bold, dare I even say arrogance, from Ronald Koeman there. But he does have a point. I mean, maybe it was Laporta with that banner, "Koeman's out." That would be quite the story.
Imagine.
But it's true. I think Koeman is trying to do something. I mean, to me, it was fairly obvious years ago that he would end up as Barcelona manager at some point. But
you didn't imagine they would get to that point this quickly.
Well, no, and I don't think he ever thought. I mean, it's unlucky for him, because of course, if they keep Messi, then he's still in sort of business, if you see what I mean. But he's got a hell of a job on his hands, and it will be very, very interesting indeed to see how it all plays out. Of course, if you want to hear more about Barcelona's decline, then listen to the latest episode of Book Club on Football Ramble Presents, as Jim and Kate spoke to Simon Cooper about his new book, all about the club. It is well worth a listen, isn't it, Jim?
It is, and it's a fascinating book. Simon was very generous with his time, and the book is... I feel like I've worked for Barcelona, having read the book, and you will have a lot of insight into what's gone on at this quite incredible institution. So check it out now.
Yeah, when you say you've worked for Barcelona, you mean you've got more insight about the club. You're not suddenly mismanaging your finances and looking exhausted.
No more than usual.
Exactly. Exactly. Gentlemen, let's finish with the Champions League chat with Sevilla 1, RB Salzburg 1. Penalties galore, four of them in the first half. Salzburg missed two. All three Salzburg penalties were won by Adeyemi, who missed the first one himself. I mean, it was quite incredible. Normally, with the law of averages with refereeing, you think he's not going to get all of them. But but they all were penalties for my money.
Yeah, it was brilliant watching the highlights of that game. It felt like they changed the rules a little bit. Like, it was just constant penos.
I quite liked it. Sevilla's Youssef En-Nesyri thought to himself in the second half, "Do you know what? I'm going to get involved in a bit of this penalty action here. If he's giving penalties away," got booked a second yellow for diving, sent off. Misread that, didn't he, Andy?
It was the most ridiculous dive.
I know, but he clearly thought penalties are here.
Thought anything's a penalty.
We're all on. The floodgates are open. It doesn't matter. I'll just leap to the ground.
See, that's the problem when you're a striker and you look at the penalties being given at the other end of the pitch, but the other end of the pitch is 70 metres away.
He
probably didn't see what nailed-on penalties actually were on Adeyemi.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, yeah. Pretty good, I suppose, a good point for RB Salzburg in, you know, Wayne Sevilla playing against a more experienced...
Very good. Yeah, very good. Great start. Great start for them. They should have won the game.
Yeah, they should have won the game. Oh, before we leave the Champions League elsewhere, poor old Anthony Taylor mistakenly sent off Dynamo Kiev's Denyas Garmisch in their 0-0 with Benfica. He thought he'd already carded him, so he sent him off for a second bookable offence.
Oh, Graham Powell sort of echoes.
Yeah.
But it's great that can be fixed in the modern era. I mean, Garmisch like pointed out to him what he'd done and then just hung about. He also nearly created a last gasp winner, Garmash. It was wildly celebrated.
Shouldn't have been on the pitch, Andy, should he?
He was the assister, but unfortunately, I think it was literally his backside was offside, which was revealed by VAR after the celebration.
And here's me thinking assisters are doing it for themselves. My goodness. Because the nature of it, they aren't, Jim. Let's finish on the news that Demba Ba has announced his retirement from football. He said in a statement on Twitter, "What a wonderful journey it has been." Of course, played in the Champions League as well, notably scoring against Manchester United last season. "Beside all the sweat and tears I have faced, football has given me so many beautiful emotions." Absolutely right. He scored 29 goals in 58 appearances for Newcastle and was a key part of Alan Pardew's entertainers as well. Talking of Newcastle memories that the fans will appreciate.
Some being of their great sides.
Yeah. Had
some of their great managers.
Indeed. Had an interesting spell at Chelsea where, of course, he scored that goal at Anfield when Steven Gerrard slipped.
Scored the winner to knock PSG out of the Champions League.
Did.
His childhood team.
Yes, indeed. He won a couple of league titles in Turkey with Istanbul, Basaksehir and Besiktas.
Yeah, and he had that adorable interview, which was posted on Twitter from our account the other day, where he talked about how much he loved syrup.
Yes.
Which is sort of, it's more like a sort of cordial, isn't it? It was established later. But he's just really, really enthuses about how much he enjoys strawberry syrup.
He just seems
so lovable.
I will always remember Demba Ba's dietary advice to me. Mm. When I interviewed him when he was at West Ham, he must have been at the time. And I had to do a little bit for their section on elite athletes and their dietary advice. And I said, "What food makes you feel in the zone?" And he goes, "Have you heard of chicken yassa?" And I said, "No, I've not," because I hadn't at the time. And he's like, "Oh, it's a Senegalese dish. My mum makes it. It's amazing." And he gave me a blow-by-blow of like what it contained, not of how you made it, because his mum always made it for him. And I said, "And how does that make you feel when you go on the pitch?" And he goes, "Oh no, you don't have it around a game. Like after you've had like a decent helping of that, you're not moving for like a day afterwards." I was like, I think he might have slightly missed the point of this feature.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But wash it down with a bit of strawberry syrup, Andy, I reckon. Yeah. I quite like when he played for West Ham. Demba Ba 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 Ba. Demba Ba Ba. That was the chant.
Yeah, it wasn't. Newcastle had a version that wasn't as good.
Yeah,
didn't they?
The West Ham fans got that right.
Yeah, my old flat, we used to refer to the bathroom as the Demba bathroom.
Nice.
Just out of respect for the great man.
Yeah, absolutely. And you should do that in your new place, Dan.
Yeah,
why disrespect him in your new place when you honoured him in your old place? Tonight, gentlemen, Liverpool versus AC Milan.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice when you get a big game like that in the group.
Yeah.
They're in a really tasty group. Jurgen Klopp was like, "It's what we wanted. It's what we bloody wanted." What, they got in with Milan, Atletico, and Porto.
Yeah, I mean, there are no gimmies there,
No, they really aren't. Manchester City playing RB Leipzig and Inter versus Real Madrid.
It's a box office tonight.
Bloody Nora. I did quite like the Liverpool versus Milan. Obviously, we remember some of their previous ties because there have been at least a couple of notable ones. Jurgen Klopp admitted this week that he almost switched off at half-time in the 2005 Champions League final before Liverpool went on to win it. Never leave a game early.
Yeah. I mean, is there a danger that if Liverpool are 3-0 up at half time, they just go home?
It's not what you want. Don't score that third goal. We know what happens in this fixture. There we are, everybody. Right, if you enjoyed our bonus episode we put out on Sunday in your podcast pipe, then you can get more of that stuff on Patreon. Bonus episodes, ad-free rambles, live streams, and much, much more. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble to get involved. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's been an absolute pleasure. On tomorrow's show, I'm back with that guy, Andy Brassel, and Vitusha Nihantaraja to talk more about Champions League happenings, Andy.
Hooray!
We're looking forward to it very much so. Until then, say goodbye, Andy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody. It's goodbye from me, too.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.